All right, welcome everybody. This is Brother James. I want to thank you for gathering with me, the saints that are listening here right now, online, on a phone, and then for those that will listen later, this audio will be in the fellowship teaching area. As you all know, we add teachings there to edify the saints. Today's topic, today's teaching, it's called contentious or contending for the truth. I think you're going to like this topic. It's one that comes up. It's pretty common. And when you do what I do out street preaching and proclaiming the truth and witnessing, it's come up before. I've written some articles on it. Maybe I have a few audios on it. But I thought I'd go in a little bit more in depth here. And the reason I'm doing that is we were just this summer in Wyoming, in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, near Yellowstone. It's a big tourist area. We like to go there. Preaching at a farmer's market and then the tourist area. So it's a good open air preaching area. And we ran into, believe it or not, some Anabaptist type tunic wearing men. There was about four of them and there was a woman with them. She was also wearing a tunic like garment. She wasn't head covered. And that was really interesting because we don't run into many people that teach or wear tunics. And it ended up when we started talking that the man called me contentious for contending for the faith and truth. And I want to explain to what happened and what sets the stage for this teaching. So we were talking and everything was going good. And I asked him what they teach. And then he said, well, he said, out of the blue, he said, well, there's essential and non-essential doctrines. And, you know, if you know Brother James, if you know me, as soon as somebody says that, I go, well, what am I missing? What's not essential in the New Testament word that we should be teaching for today? And in front of other brothers that he had there, in front of Sister Debbie with me, he said, well, I would say things like dress aren't really essential. You know, he's standing there wearing a tunic. He looked like he walked out of the Bible, right? And he said, I don't think dress is really something we have to hold to. And then he said this, as long as someone dresses modest. Well, again, if you know my teaching, we have this all on audio, by the way. You can look it up and listen to it on audio. I said modest. I said, let's go to that King James, and we talked through it, how the word modest is terrible, really a bad word. I still sometimes slip and say the word immodest, and that's really not good. We need to talk about biblical dress or unbiblical dress. And I explained to him that in the Greek, 1 Timothy 2:9 really says, not modest apparel, but neat and orderly robes. And so as soon as I said that to him, he kind of really got, I'd say, frustrated in front of his brothers. He couldn't really contend. And I said, so what else is not essential in God's word? And he had nothing else. He goes, well, I guess everything's essential. I said, so what you really said in the beginning isn't really true, right? And I was trying to get to truth with him. And to get out of it, and there was another worldly man there trying to contend with me, and I won't go into that. That kind of separated him and I. But he quoted Galatians 5, and he told me, I was contentious, and I want to read Galatians 5 to you. And again, I remind everybody listening, write down these scripture verses. I move through them quickly for time's sake, and then you can go back, read them, and again, the audio will be up so you could listen to it again. Galatians 5, 19 through 20. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. Yeah, those are some pretty bad sins, right? Then these added in. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies. So this man was pretty bold. He made a judgment. By the way, he told me I shouldn't judge anyone, even Christians that say they're born again. Then he made a bold judgment and said, I might not enter heaven because I'm contentious when it comes to talking about things. And so he kind of was hypocritical in his judgment there. But I want to take us through this, and let's look at this, contentious. We're going to look at these words, and you notice the words, adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. Well, everybody knows how big a sin those are. Those are going to keep you out of heaven, right? Then Paul talked about hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies. All of those words, maybe not hatred, we know what hatred is, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. These are all really the main, the same thing. Little variation, but the same thing. We're going to go and we're going to look at these words, and they really lead to contention. He told me I might not make it into heaven because I'm contentious. I'm going to challenge that and see Was I being contentious against the truth, or was I being contentious for the truth? And what are we called to be? So we're going to look at those words as we go through. But first, we're going to go to the Old Testament. We're going to look at Proverbs 17. We're going to lay a little foundation here for contending. Proverbs 17, 13 through 15. And it says, "Whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house." So that's really bad, right? Switching good and evil. Verse 14. "The beginning of strife," that's kind of like contention, so keep that in mind, "is as when one letteth out water. Therefore leave off contention before it be meddled with." Verse 15. "He that justify the wicked, and he that condemneth the just, even they are both an abomination unto the Lord." So what I want you to see there is, if you read those three verses in context, the strife and the contention is about people that are turning good for evil, evil for good, and look what they're doing, justifying wickedness. And that kind of sets the table for what I'm going to show you here, that contention for truth is not sinful. All the references in the New Testament I'm going to show you are sinful when we contend against the truth. And I'm going to go through that, and I'm going to show you that really quickly here, or as quick as we can get through it. No rush, I guess. I'm going to prove in the New Testament that sinful contention is called out versus sound doctrine and contending for the faith. So we're going to look at those five words, all right? And we're going to start with strife or contention. They're kind of the same meaning, strife or contention. Now, all you obedient, head-covered ladies are going to appreciate this first one. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 16. This comes up all the time when we teach and they ask about head coverings, and people say, "Oh, but Paul said it that last verse," and I'll read it here. "But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God." You know, they'll try to say, "Brother Paul spent 16 verses to teach a lady to cover her head with a veil." At the end, he says, "But you don't have to follow that if you don't want to." That's not what it means. That word contentious in the Greek is philanikos. It means lover of strife. So that would mean somebody that loves to go against the truth, somebody that loves to create strife. And have you ever noticed something, ladies, men, when it comes to, let's say, head coverings, we're talking about it, the people that you talk to about it, if you believe in head coverings and you practice it and you won't unite and you'll separate from others, they'll instantly label you contentious. But if they rebel against what Paul clearly taught, they never call themselves contentious, do they? They say, "We're free. We don't have to do that." No, Paul clearly was teaching that to be contentious against his teaching on a veil covering for ladies was not allowed. It was not to be accepted. And you're going to see that as we go through this more. Let's go more words from Brother Paul. A lot of words from Brother Paul. Romans 2, verse 8. Remember, my main point. What are we doing? Is contentious bad when it's for the truth? Or is it sinful when these people contend against the truth? For it or against it? Romans 2, 8. "But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath." That word wrath there is strife, fighting against. Look what Paul says. They're not obeying the truth. So that gives you reason to believe if you're striving for the truth, you're not contentious. We're going to see you're zealous. But those that are contentious in the wrong way are pushing against the truth. That word strife, in context, it's about not obeying the truth of God. And that's what I really am driving home in this whole lesson here. Those people, that man and many people, use contentious wrongly. When I contended for the truth of God, they said I was being contentious. Yet all these verses are showing us contending for the faith is good. Contentious, Paul talks about, is when you're going against the truth right there, not obeying the truth. More words from Brother Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verses 20 and 21. And he says, "For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you as such ye would not, lest there be debates, envying, wrath, strifes, backbiting, whispering, swellings, tumults. And lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already. So here's Paul tying all those things to sin. See? He's tying strife and backbiting, whispering. They weren't doing that for the truth. They were doing it against the truth. And he says, I'll bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanliness and the fornication and lasciviousness which they've committed. Remember, in Corinth, they had a problem. A lot of new believers, a lot of pagan ways, a lot of fleshly, carnal, sinful ways. And Paul is telling them, in their strife, in their backbitings, in their wrath against the truth, they haven't repented. So when he comes, he's going to set it straight. They were contentious against the truth and being in sin and flesh. Brother Paul would never call someone contentious when they're contending for the truth. You know what Brother Paul would call that? He would call that zeal in a good way. You can look up Titus 2:14 where he tells us to be zealous for good works. Not zealous against the truth, zealous for the truth. Moving on, Brother James. James 3:13-16. I hope you're seeing the pattern here. The contention is always against the truth of God, not for it. Who is a wise man who endueth with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife, that's that word contention, in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. So they're contentious, they have strife, they're going against the truth. Once again, in context, they are pushing against the truth, they're not following the truth, they're lying against the truth. They're contentious in a bad way. Very, very important. We have to be careful there. Verse 15, but wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. 16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Once again, another verse that ties strife and contention with evil and sin. That's not what I was doing, and I know that's not what you saints do. We strive for the truth, to call people to the truth, to repentance from sin and error. That's a good contending, we're going to see. Contention is when you say, I don't think I want to follow that because it's going to cost me my friends, my family, my reputation, my flesh. I'm not going to do that. That's sinful, contentious, against the truth. Again, that word strife, it's linked to evil work in that particular verse. Back to Brother Paul, Romans 13:13. And it says this, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in envy and striving. There you go. Once again, tying some pretty bad sins to strife, contention, and envy, proving that those people that were contentious were walking in a lot of sin. We don't want that to be so among God's people. Let's go back into the book of Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I hope you're really seeing a pattern here, saints. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Brother Paul says, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife, there's that contention word, and divisions. Yep, contention causes divisions. Are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while I say if one is of Paul, another of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Once again, they were all comparing each other. I'm with Paul, I'm in Cephas, I'm of Apollos. They're carnal, they're fleshly, envying, strife. Paul rebukes them. That was not a good thing. The contention, once again, not a good thing. Not contending for the truth, pushing against it, causing division when we're to be united in the truth. Let's move on to the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy 6, 3 through 5. Here, Brother Paul again is laying the foundation for what we should be doing. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine, doctrine means truth and instruction, all right, for us, which is according to godliness. There you go. Doctrine leads to godliness. This is why we fight and defend and contend for doctrine and godliness. Paul says he's proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strife, contention of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. Do you see how Paul links who's doing this? They got corrupt minds. They don't care about the truth. And destitute of the truth. They're far from the truth. They're contentious. They're sinful. They're fleshly, right? He finishes, supposing that gain is godliness, then Paul tells us what to do with such people. From such, withdraw yourself. So Paul says, withdraw yourself from those contentious people that are in sin and destitute of the truth. Who do we want to draw near to? The people striving and contending for the truth and the doctrines of Jesus Christ and what the apostles laid down for us. Again, contending for the truth is not sinful contentiousness. Let's move on to Titus 3, 9 through 11. Paul says, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions, that's like division, strifes about the law, for they are not profitable and vain. A man that is a heretic, look at how he links that. You're contentious, you're striving. Next verse. A man who's a heretic, that's somebody that teaches false doctrine, folks. After the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. Once again, a man who's contentious in strife, he's a heretic, he's outside of the truth. Paul says, warn him, mark him, avoid him. Heresy is not a good thing in the body of Christ. We must be zealous against that. So let's move on to another word that we talked about in Galatians 5, emulations. It's a word we don't use much in English, don't use it at all. It actually means, in the Greek, is zealous. It means misplaced or wrong zeal. So there's different kinds of zeal. You can have a good zeal. You can have zeal on the wrong things. Let's look at a word here, a scripture here where that's used. Acts 13:45. And it says, but when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spoke against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. So they were contending against Brother Paul, who was speaking the gospel truth. They had the wrong type of zeal, zealous. All right? That was an emulation. That's the one that's going to put you outside of heaven when you push against the gospel and truth. Because why? The Jews were jealous. They said they saw the crowds. They wanted to silence that. It's the same word, zealous, wrong zeal. They spoke against his teaching. See the pattern here. Contention for the wrong reason, zeal for the wrong reasons. Let's keep going. Romans chapter 10, verses 2 through 4. Brother Paul says, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. There's that wrong zeal. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, they've not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. So Paul was dealing with the zealous Jews that wanted to keep Torah law, keep circumcising. And that zeal is wrongly placed. That's against the truth. That's prideful. That's like witchcraft, doing your own way. Rebellion against God. I'm going to do it my way. That's the wrong place zeal. That's an emulation that we don't want to be a part of. Let it never be said that I have emulation against the truth of God. Well, every day of the week, I'm going to have emulation and zeal against false doctrine and false teaching. Romans 1, verse 29. Paul's talking about a group of people here being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. Those are pretty bad things, right? Look what he rolls in. Full of envy. Then he puts in murder, another really bad thing. Debate, deceit, malignity, and whispers. Do you notice how those people say those are really bad sins? Then Paul throws in some there that people would say, those aren't as bad, are they? Paul's warning against them all. One lie. Ananias and Sapphira in Act 5 sends you outside of the kingdom of God to judgment. So it's the same word here, zeal, all right? It's linked to all kinds of sins, some really serious, some less serious, but they're still sin, nonetheless. So that's that word emulation. Again, it's people pushing against the truth of God, not for it. Let's move on to another word used in Galatians 5, the word wrath. I know you all know what that word means. Most people think of wrath, they think of the wrath of God. Let's look at this. Luke 4, verse 28. Luke 4, verse 28. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. So it's a different kind of wrath. The Greek word is thumos. It means passion and anger. All right, it's not the same wrath that God is going to bring, and not the same context, at least. They were angry against the truth that was being preached. So their wrath was wrong, right? It boiled over in zealousness and contentious. There, I just tied those words together, all right? And that's what brought the Jews and the Romans eventually to kill all the disciples, like Stephen and all the rest of them, and Paul, ultimately our Lord and Savior. The only one they didn't kill was John the Revelator. And history says, not the Bible, that they tried to boil him alive in oil and he survived. I don't know if that's true. That's what history says. But we know that John died a prisoner on the island of Patmos. So isn't that, see how fortunate he was? He got to die a prisoner. He was the only one killed. All the rest of the men we read about were murdered because of these people's wrath against the truth. That's what's going to keep them out of heaven. I've never murdered anyone against the truth of God, and I hope I never do. And that's what this is talking about. Acts 19:28. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath. Same word, thumos. They cried out saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. So this was the pagans in their anger, in their wrath. We see it in the streets. New Agers, Satanists, they got a wrath against us. They got a wrath against the truth of God. It's a passion, wrong place zeal. It's a contention and a striving against what? Not for the word of God, not for righteousness, not for holiness and obedience, against it. And that's what I'm showing you here. Romans 2:8, we read this verse, but I'm going to read it again. But unto them that are contentious, that's what we read it for, and do not obey the truth, so there's what they're not doing, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. There you go. They're obeying their flesh, their anger, their passion against the truth of God. It's a wrong placed passion. It's motivated by sin and error in their flesh and rebellion. It's not motivated by the Spirit and the truth of God. We're going to see what the Spirit of God brings. So let's go back into the book of 2 Corinthians 12, verse 20. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 20. Paul says this, for I fear lest when I come, I shall find you not such as I would, that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not. Lest there be debates, envyings, wrath, strifes, backbiting, whispering, swelling, tumults. I think we read that again. There's that word wrath again. Those people were practicing this, all right? It's what's going to put them outside of the kingdom of God, against the truth of God, against Paul. This is what we're trying to build a case against. Wrong place passion, placing wrath against the truth of God, not contending for it. How about Ephesians 4:31? You know, most 60%, I think, of the New Testament was written by Brother Paul in the epistle. So a lot of these are his words. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speakings be put away from you with all malice. So Paul's saying, put all that away. That's not part of God's people. Wrath is thrown in there. That's that passion and contention against. Do away with such things like wrong placed zeal, wrong passion against the truth of God. Colossians 3:8. But now ye also put off these things. Paul's telling us again, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. All right. So he's warning them again. This is not of God. This is not of the Spirit of God. This is not of God's people. This is of your flesh. This is of rebellion. Put it away. All right. And wrath is one of those things that we're to put away. Wrong place zeal and passion against the truth of God. Let's go into the book of Hebrews 11, verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So this is talking about the wrath that went on in Egypt. Again, we know about that. He was pushing against God. He wouldn't submit to God. God had to use all those judgments against him. Violence against God's people and sin, not striving for the things of God. How about Revelation 12:12? This is a telling verse. Therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. So all those that are in heaven are rejoicing, right? Look at this. Woe to the inhabitants of earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Satan rebelled against God in pride and envy. He wanted to be like God. We see that that's not what we're to be about, pushing against God. He's coming down to earth in the last days. Yeah, it's going to be a fearful thing for those of us alive on earth in that day. But we will overcome. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, as long as we love not our life unto death. Revelation 12:11. So let's keep going with these words. So we covered wrath. Let's go to sedations that Galatians 5 mentioned. Romans 16:17 is one of my favorite verses. I use it all the time. No one can refute this. Romans 16:17. Brother Paul says, now I beseech you, that's like beg of you, brethren, mark them which cause division. Right? People always end right there. They say, you're causing division. Oh, I am. I am causing division when I'm going against false doctrine. But Paul goes on, and offenses contrary to the doctrine, that's instruction, which ye have learned, and avoid them. So mark this in your Bibles if you haven't already, saints. Anytime someone tells you you've divided out from the denominations and Sunday church and pagan holidays, Christmas and Easter, and they say you're divisive, you tell them, I'll take that label because I'm dividing out because you have left sound doctrine and the Bible commands that I do this. And this is really a linchpin verse here, because Paul is saying we walk in the truth. The people that have caused unsound doctrine and heresy, they're the ones that are contentious against the truth. That word division in the Greek is dikastasia. I can't say it. Dikastasia. It means dissension from the truth and from sound doctrine. Yeah. So never let anybody tell you from the Sunday church system, the denominations, that you're being divisive. No. Brother Paul said they are the ones that have been divisive. Let's keep going. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3. We may have read this one, but this word's in there too. For ye are carnal, for whereas there is among you envying, strife, and divisions. There's that word. Are ye not carnal and walk as men? Remember, we're not to walk in the flesh, Romans 8. We're to walk in the spirit. Carnal means fleshly, all right? And so we're to walk in the spirit of God. When we walk in the carnal flesh, we will be contentious. We will divide from God's truth. We will divide from holiness and obedience and lean towards our flesh. We're not to be that. We're to walk in the spirit. Paul's rebuking them. They're not being godly and walking in the spirit, not striving for sound doctrine. No, envying, strife, and divisions. All right. I think we have one last word here from Galatians 5. Heresies. Let's look at this. Many of you may know this. A heresy or a heretic is someone who teaches false doctrine. Any false doctrine. Not just that Jesus isn't God or the word of God isn't true or he wasn't born of a virgin. That's what they'll tell you. Big heresy. No, no, no. It means anyone that teaches false doctrine. Right? Acts 5:17. And then the high priest rose up and all that were with him, which is the sect of the Pharisees, and were filled with indignation. So here that sect and heresy is the same word. It means divided out, doing something different. Not all united. And in the case of truth, that's a good thing because we don't want to unite. Jesus said he came to bring a sword in Matthew 10 to divide out his people. That word sect is heresis. It means disunion, right? These false men were against Jesus and the disciples. They didn't want the truth. So they were divided out on purpose as Jesus and the disciples divided out from them. So you got to understand that division is a good thing. When you're striving for truth and sound doctrine, division is not good when you're walking in the flesh heresy, man-made traditions. You're going to get judged for that, because in 1 Corinthians 1:10, Apostle Paul tells us that we should all be speaking the same things, be of one mind, right? Sometimes go read all of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He tells us what true unity is, and it's all speaking the same things, walking in the doctrines of God. That's what we must strive for, not the compromise, false unity that we see all over. Here's another verse on heresy and sects. Acts 15:5. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Same word, sect, heresy. They were trying to teach the Gentiles to keep Torah law. That's not what the Bible teaches. And so they were against the truth, dividing out in a false way, ungodly way, sinful way. How about Acts 24, verse 5? It says, "For we have found this man a pestilent fellow." Wow, that's what they're calling the apostles, a pestilent fellow. "A mover of sedition," remember we covered that, "among all the Jews throughout the world, a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes." Hey, I want to be called that, a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. That was those that were following Jesus Christ in Antioch. They were first called Christians. He's talking about Paul here. And they're saying that Paul was a sect. Yeah, Paul took it. Follower of the way, right? It's good to divide out. It's good to be separate. They were keeping false ways. They had a hard heart against Jesus and the truth. They didn't even recognize Messiah. They were against the gospel. They were not striving to contend for it. See the point? So being in a sect for Christ is a good thing. We're followers of the way. We're following Messiah. Don't let anyone demean that. Divide out, follow the way. It's a good thing. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 19. "For there must be also heresies," same word, "among you, that they which are proved may be made manifest among you." So Paul's calling out their false teaching. He's talking down the false ways in Corinth. And it was against the truth, not for it. Paul talked about, do I need to come there with a rod? He had to go there in 1 Corinthians 5 and throw the man out in sexual sin, because they were glorying in it. They were contentious against the truth and holiness of God. See the point? How about moving on to Brother Peter? 2 Peter 2, verse 1. Famous verse here. "But there were also false prophets and among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves destruction." See how they're pushing against the truth, contending against the truth? They're going to be destroyed, not because they're with the truth. They're against the truth. Heresies, that's false doctrine, lies, sin, rebellion against God's word. Peter warns against it. You know, I have to wonder. I wonder if those tunic-wearing men I met in that park would call Peter contentious. Something to think about. "So now that I proved to you that contentious was always against the truth and sinful and rebellion and fleshly, I want to look at some verses about the truth and then contending for it." So we kind of tore down the bad part. Let's build up with the good right here. We're going to go through these quickly. John 4:24, everybody knows me, knows this verse. "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." That's why we contend, saints. We need the truth to worship God. John 8:32. Jesus says, "And you shall know the truth." What sets us free? The truth shall make you free. Not lies, not heresy, not man-made traditions. The truth shall set you free. He's calling this out. Anyone against that would be contentious against our Lord and Savior. How about John 8:44? Here he calls out the father of contention. Ready? "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." So there's a call out to the Pharisees, and then he's calling out, talk about contending. He just called the Pharisees sons of the devil. Those are some pretty harsh but truthful words from our Lord and Savior. How about John 16, verse 13? I love this verse. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, hey, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth per Jesus. When he's come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He shall show you things to come. The Spirit of God is the truth, will know the truth, will walk in the truth, will contend for the truth with the Spirit. He'll teach us all truth. I love that. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That's what this is all about. People that contend against the truth hold it in unrighteousness. They're going to be judged. Same chapter, Romans 1, verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. We see a lot of that going on today. Worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Yeah, think about that. We see that with pagan religion, man-made denominational religion, idolatry of all the things of this culture and the world, pushing against the things of God. Romans chapter 2, verse 2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to the truth, guts them which commit such things. So all of this, the instructions, the doctrine, the truth, is all being built up for us to contend for those people that are against God or sin, or for sin and for false doctrine. They're contending against the truth of God. Two polar opposites. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 8. Let us therefore keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with leaven of malice and wickedness. Leaven sometimes meant sin, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Do you see how important truth is, saints? We must contend for the truth. 1 Corinthians 13:6. Paul says, rejoice not in iniquity, that means sin, but rejoice in the truth. You know, when I preach, I talk about the truth a lot. I rejoice in it. I dwell in it. I lift it up. People get angry because they don't love the truth. They're not of God if they don't love the truth. Remember that. 2 Corinthians 4:2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Once again, striving for truth, the opposite would be going against the things of God, against the ways of God. 2 Corinthians 13:8. I like this. This is so simple. You got to think about it. It's so simple. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Yeah, preach the truth, saints. Live it. Contend for it. We do nothing against it. We do it for it. All right? Now, my next verse, Galatians 2, verse 14. Paul says, but when I saw that they walked not upright according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew live after the manner of the Gentiles and not as the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Paul here is calling out Peter for his false ways. He was sitting with the Gentiles eating, acting like them. The Jews showed up. Peter ran to have favor with the Jews, and Paul calls him out. Again, I wonder if those men I met in the park and all the people that say I'm contentious would call brother Paul contentious when he contended against Peter for his false ways. Something to be considered. Or against Jesus when he contended against the Pharisees, right? How about Galatians 4:16? Could be one of my all-time favorite verses. Am I therefore your enemy? Because I tell you the truth. Yeah, when you contend for the truth, many people will become your enemy. Many religious people that say they love Jesus will become your enemy. Be aware of that, saints. Ephesians 4, verse 15. but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So we're speaking the truth in love, and we're growing up in all things. The truth helps us grow up in all things unto Christ. Same chapter, verse 21, Ephesians 4, 21. If so be that ye heard of him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. You know, most people don't realize this. Jesus is the truth. That's such a plain statement, right? John 14, 6. He's the way, the truth, and the life. People forget that. They like the way. They want to go to heaven. They like the life. They want eternal life. But when you contend for truth, they kind of throw it out. Well, they're throwing out part of who Jesus is, because he is the truth. Remember, the Spirit's truth. Jesus is truth. This verse too, Ephesians 5, 9. When you hear me in all these audios and videos out street preaching, contending for truth, why am I doing this? Well, what does Ephesians 5, 9 say? For the fruit of the Spirit is goodness, righteousness, and truth. Yeah, that's a fruit of the Spirit. If you feel the desire welling up in you to contend for truth against error, that's the Spirit in you. It ain't your flesh, I can promise you. The Spirit is rising up in you, causing you to contend for the Father's truth. Ephesians 6:14. I'm laying the groundwork here for truth, saints, against those that contend against it. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. I like that. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Truth is part of our armor in Ephesians 6. If you don't have truth, the world, your flesh, and Satan, and the enemy, all the enemies of him, of your enemies, his minions, are going to have a field day with you. You must be walking in truth. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also, thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe. The truth works in us, saints. If we hold to it, cling to it, live it, learn it, preach it, it works in us, sharpens us, makes us a tool and a vessel for our Holy Father. 2 Thess 2:10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why? Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. In order to come to salvation and have it in Christ via the gospel, his shed blood, repentance, new life, holiness and obedience and enduring, you have to come to a love of the truth by the Spirit of God. That's why this is so critical. If you see people that don't love the truth and cling to the truth, we saw some young men today when we were out witnessing, they laughed at the truth. That means they don't have the Spirit of God in them. How sad. Judgment day is coming for them. Let's see here. 2 Thess 2:12. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Wow, don't need to comment anything about that. What a powerful verse. 1 Timothy 6:5. This is about contending, what Paul is saying. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth. See, if you're disputing about truth, you wouldn't be destitute of the truth, would you? Supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw. He's talking about false teachers. Remove yourself from them. Destitute of truth. Those are the people that cause disputes. 2 Timothy 2:15. I guess we all should know this if we study the word, right? Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let us always be about that, saints, dividing the word of truth, and test everything that I teach you and what anyone teaches you from the word of God. 2 Timothy 4, let's see, verse 4. 2 Timothy 4, verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. Do we know a lot of people like that in the culture today? Yeah, They're following fables. They're following man-made traditions. They've turned away from the truth. That's what this is about, contending for the truth. Titus 1:1. What should a teacher be? Paul says, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Right? Truth leads to godliness. Verse 9 of that same chapter. Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, that's instruction and truth, both exhort and convince the gainsayer. That's what I try to do in the streets. If they're not mockers and they'll listen, I try to convince and exhort and call them by sound doctrine and truth away from their divisiveness to their man-made traditions and worldliness and sin. That's what this is all about. Same chapter, verse 14. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men. Yep, we see a lot of that today, don't we, in the Sunday denominational church systems that turn from the truth. This is all about truth, saints. Contending for the truth, not being contentious against it. James 5:19. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one converteth him. That verse goes on to say you save a soul from death. There you go. You leave the truth, you're set for judgment and death. What do? We try to turn people from those ways. We try to save a soul from death. 1 Peter 1:22. I like this. Look what the truth does. Seeing that ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit with unfeigned love of the brethren. I like that. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Look at that. The truth purifies our souls. Of course, the truth helps us all love each other, strive together in a pure heart. Amen. 2 Peter 2:2. For many shall follow their pernicious ways, and by reason of whom the way of truth shall be even evil spoken of. Yep, we see that all the time out here in the streets. They throw the truth away. They speak evil of it. They laugh about it. That's not of the Spirit of God. That's contentious against the truth of God. 1 John 2:4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Let that not be so among his people. We keep the commandments of God. We're not liars. We walk in his truth. Truth matters, saints. 2 John 1:4. I like this verse too. I like them all, but I really like this one. I rejoice greatly that I found thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. Isn't that joyous? Walking in the truth. The truth is not some trivial thing. It's not something that's just thrown out there and then not to be adhered to. We walk in the truth. Hey, we're walking in Christ. He is the truth. The Spirit is the truth. The fruit of the Spirit is truth. Not contending against the truth. You see that, saints? 3 John 1, verse 8. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Isn't that nice? Look at that. We can all be fellow helpers to the truth of God. All you men that strive, no matter your ministry, all you ladies and sisters, no matter where you are, your situation, your ministry, you can be a fellow helper of the truth right where you are shining your light. So all these verses that I've shown you shows you how much truth matters, why we must have it, why we must teach it, why we must contend with it and for it, not against it in contention. That's the sin. Especially in these last days when you can't throw a stick without hitting a false teacher or people that believe false doctrine. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. We're living this. We're living this, saints. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's instruction. That's truth. But after their own lusts, they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. Yeah, all these modern pastors, all these men on the internet, they want money, they want clicks, they want popularity, they want to fill the pews. They tell people what they want to hear. Easy believe gospels, raise your hand, say a prayer. All this instrumental fleshly music makes you feel good. They're popular. They're pleasing people's itchy ears. This is not what the true men of God did. Let's look at some of these. John the Baptist, the greatest man that ever lived per Jesus, refutes and rebukes the Pharisees to their face. He says this, Matthew 3:7. He's contending for the truth. He says, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Yeah, John the Baptist was a bold man of God, and he spoke truth and righteousness. Sometimes, saints, go read Matthew 23, the whole chapter. Jesus totally rebukes the Pharisees over and over for their hypocrisy. And he calls them many biblical names, calling them out as he contended for the Father's truth. Now, let's talk about reasoning. You know, reasoning for the Word of God. Acts 18:4. This is what I strive to do. And Paul, it says, it's talking about Paul, he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. That word reason, delegeome, it means to discuss, dispute, to argue. So I like that because I can start reasoning with somebody and then it gets into a discussion and it can turn into an argument and a dispute if they cling to false teaching and false doctrine. And that's okay as long as it's done in love and truth. Even with a rebuke, Paul did it. Acts 24:25, again with reasoning. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go away for this time. When I have convenient season, I'll call for you again. Paul was reasoning with him, telling him about righteousness and the judgment to come. This is good that we reason for the truth, contend, we can argue, we can dispute when it's right. For the truth. What's sinful? When we're contentious against the truth. I think I've given you tons of scriptures to show you the difference between contending against the truth, striving for the truth, and I guess I'll cap it off with a famous verse for this topic. Jude 1:3. Beloved, when I gave you all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you earnestly contend for the faith which is once delivered unto the saints. That word contend, all right? It's a really complicated Greek word. I don't even think I can say it. Epagonizame? Go look it up. It's quite a word. You know what it means? Struggle for. Saints, are you struggling for the truth and the faith every day? Are you struggling, men, against false teachers that are deceiving people? Are you struggling against your flesh? Your relatives, your friends, your family, the culture around you. Yeah, Jude says, struggle for the faith. All these scriptures that I've shown you about truth. Not one single verse ever tells us that we should struggle against the truth or that being zealous for the truth is bad or contentious. No, not one verse says that. The verse I showed you, Ephesians 5:9, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is the truth. We're called to contend for the truth, always honoring God, honoring our Lord and Savior, honoring the Spirit, honoring our brothers and sisters, even honoring our neighbor. Why? They need to hear the truth so they can come out of the sin, the false ways that's going to bring damnation to their soul. We read about it. All for the love of them, love of God, love of our neighbor. Striving in the truth that comes from the Spirit. I hope, saints, that you have seen that all these verses I've given you in this audio, if you need it, it's going to be on the teaching blog fellowship area, is biblical ammo to help you refute against those who say, you know, that brother Jim of yours is contentious, or you're contentious because you won't go along with Christmas or Easter or come to our Sunday gathering or do our birthday parties or do our worldly events or just go along to get along. You're contentious against the truth. Oh, no. No, it is us who are contending for the truth. The scriptures tell us and command us to do that, to be in sound doctrine, not sin, not false ways, not have the leaven that's all around us. Saints, hold fast in the truth, no matter the cost. It is our duty. 1 Timothy 3:15. 1 Timothy 3:15, as I'm closing out. But if I tarry long, that thou may knowest how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. I like the word body there instead of church. The pillar and ground of the truth. The truth is our pillar, all right? We can be part of that. We can lift it up. We can be shining our light of truth all around us as we contend for the truth, not being contentious against the truth. Last point, Jesus tells us in Luke 13 to strive. What is that, saints? It's against sin. It's against our flesh. It's against the culture. It's against heresy. It's against evil. It's for the truth. We are to strive for the truth. And our Lord and Savior is that truth. He shed his blood for us. He rose again for us. He gives us the word and the Holy Spirit. What more do we need than to be encouraged to strive for the truth? Contending for the faith once delivered, never contentious against the truth. Don't be deceived by those people that twist that. I hope this teaching shows you that. I want to thank all the saints for listening. Again, this audio teaching is going to be in the fellowship section. You can go back, listen to it. You can share it with people. All the scripture verses will be there. Go test me to the word of God. I do not have the truth. The word is the truth. Strive for it, saints. We love you all with a fervent love. Till next time, thanks for listening. Hope I can come to you again with more truth soon. May God be praised.